So that was Rhys Chatham's Outdoor Spell from the album Outdoor Spell, released in 2011. And, yeah, okay. So I really like that because of the overtone play, like the... In the album notes, they describe it as kind of like an attempt at mimicking Tibetan throat singing, which if you've listened to, oh, it's neat. It's one of the few vocal styles where it's like they're singing multiple notes at the same time, one person. And it's pretty neat. But yeah, a lot of it's like, you know, playing with the shape of the mouth to create interesting overtones that in a resonant space really come to life. And then, you know, a little trumpet play in there. But yeah, that was all loops and delay and etc. And what's kind of neat, like the modern production techniques in there, one, you can tell that it's like Loctite. There's no warbling. There's no like putting your finger on the tape to slow it down a little bit or like speeding the reel up just a little bit because you fell behind. There's none of that. It's all pretty locked in tight. But the panning is something that's an interesting, more modern production technique because, you know, older boards, you could pan and whatnot. But older boards, like pre-mid-80s, you couldn't automate stuff. So you had to do it all by hand. And that means that while you're playing it back, like you're playing back all your tracks and you're busting them down to a stereo mix or whatever, you got to be there and have people in place to like move faders and turn knobs and like do this, that, and the other if you want those effects in there, which got to be kind of complicated. Not a lot of people wanted to do that, I don't think. So panning tended to be pretty static. But also, mixing boards were physically limited. You couldn't have infinite tracks. You can just be like, oh, I want to have like 150 tracks on this song. That's fine, right? No, you were limited to the number of tracks you had available. And in the end, you could have used 150 tracks in this song, but only maybe 16 or 24 at a time at most with four buses that like some, like if you have a drum kit, for instance, you might have eight microphones on that. So those eight microphones are plugged into eight tracks that have to be combined into one or two buses if you want to like print them into a stereo mix. So you can see where I'm getting with this. Like if you wanted 150 tracks back in the day, you needed to layer and layer and layer. And that didn't really become popular until like the Beach Boys. Oh, what is that? Some Good Vibrations? Read about the production of that. It's very interesting. But anyway, so that was Outdoor Spell, Rhys Chatham. Next up, we're coming to Carolee Coverdale, who is a Canadian lady who writes some interesting music. And we're going to listen to her piece called Labyrinth 1 from the album Changes in Air, which came out in 2025. Find it on Bandcamp. But she makes really interesting use of synthesizers and organ in this piece. And again, using some delay effects, some loop effects, like digital reverbs. Actually, it might actually be reverb from the space, but I wasn't able to dig too deeply into the production notes there. So I don't 100% know. I'm guessing there's more digital effects than like recording these things. Although organs, like, I don't know if you all know about organs, but they're pretty big. If you find like a church organ kind of a thing, that's why they're usually in churches, because they're as big as buildings, incorporated into the building. So a lot of organ recordings, what makes the instrument so special is the space that it has been grafted to, I guess you could say. So, yeah. Anyway, she's got interesting use of synths and organ in this piece. And she really makes this kind of somber, contemplative environment that's quite interesting to sit and listen to. So hopefully you're still there and you're still listening, because this is CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby. I'm Garen Fitzgerald. This is Open Mic transitioning into Extratonal. And yeah, here's some Carolee Coverdale. Changes in Air is the album, the piece Labyrinth 1. And yeah, I do have it pulled up. So I'm going to cue it and we're going to go. Bye. Thank you.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizerwitz, and this is Climate Connections. Online chatbots, shopping apps, and social media all rely more and more on AI. And as demand for AI grows, so does the demand for electricity at energy-intensive data centers.
We will need significant new generation capacity in the U.S. to power what we expect to come online in the next 5 to 10 years.
Nick Muller of Carnegie Mellon University warns that meeting that demand could threaten the climate and public health. He says some data centers will likely be powered by new natural gas plants or even retired coal plants brought back online. Burning fossil fuels emits pollutants that are dangerous to breathe, as well as climate-warming CO2. So to limit the harm, Muller suggests investing in technology to capture carbon and air pollution at the smokestack. But critics say this approach keeps the U.S. dependent on fossil fuels, and that companies should power data centers with clean energy instead.
And so that puts an emphasis on AI data center development in places where you have a lot of wind or you have a lot of solar.
Like West Texas and the Great Plains. So where companies build data centers matters for the climate and public health. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
What is up? Welcome back. This is Open Mic. I'm Garen Fitzgerald. This is Thursday, and we are coming to the end of this 12 o'clock hour. You just heard Carol Lee Coverdale's Labyrinth 1 from the album Changes in Air, released in 2025. And yeah, that was a neat piece for me, because it was kind of tricky to tell sometimes whether you were hearing a synth or an organ. But man, the moments where like the organ really shined was, do me a favor, if you have like a bottle next to you, mostly empty, not like a full bottle, but or some kind of like open mouth thing that looks like a bottle that you can blow across the top like a flute, do that really gently. And just listen to the kind of like the texture, the air blowing, like playing less a note and more just like going across the top of the bottle. And that is the sound of the organ that you were hearing in there sometimes, is that really like gentle release of air through the opening, like just barely making the note speak. And oh man, that was like very nice. I don't know. I thought that was pretty neat in there. And yeah, that composition was pretty sparse. Very minimal, you might say. Kind of the theme for today. Minimal tape and loopy stuff. But no, it's a really interesting piece. And the rest of that album, there's a lot more textures that she experiments with. There are a lot more instruments that come into play. I highly recommend checking out the album, Changes in Air. Interesting thing to note as well is that Carol Lee apparently released two other albums that same year. And from press releases, they were the first albums she'd released in 8 years. So these things have been in the works for quite a while, and well worth a listen. So I highly recommend. Like, I had a hard time choosing which track to play. I wanted to play more than one, but I really wanted to play this piece. And then a few of the other pieces I wanted to play, it took up too much time. I didn't have enough time to do the things that I got to do, which is like tell you all about what's going on, what have you. Anyway, that was Carol Lee Coverdale, Labyrinth 1 from Changes in Air. And, man, okay, this next piece, the last piece I'm going to play for you today, is from an artist named Andrew Staniland. And it's off his album called The Laws of Nature. It is the titular piece, The Laws of Nature. And what's really interesting about this, like I like the how technology is used to make music with traditional instruments, like acoustic instruments. And he used this thing called the Jade Digital Instrument. And it has a few different modes in which it can generate tones. But one of them uses an EEG headband. That's a headband that reads your brainwaves. And he was collaborating with the Kitawake Dance Theater, or maybe Kittiwake. I'm going to go with Kitawake because that seems more like it would be a thing. And he had the dancers, while he was collaborating with them for several years on this album, he had them wear the headband. And with their brain waves. He generated like rhythms and textures and notes and ideas with which he built this composition on. And if you go to his website, you can find videos where he shows him using the headband in real time to kind of show how it works and what it does. It's really fascinating, really quite interesting. Yeah, so I'm going to play that for you. And then after this show is done, please stick around because we got Nicole with Beats and Eats, where she talks about food and music. If that weren't self-explanatory, she's very good at naming her shows. We've also got Young Artist's Bedroom after that. So Nicole's 1 to 2, Young Artist's Bedroom 2 to 3. It's where a kind of revolving group of local high school students gets together to talk about life is in the music world coming up as the way they are. And that's followed up by Free Voices at 3 o'clock, Stories of Inspiration and Empowerment, where people get together to talk about things that need to be talked about in this world and do so in a very kind way and hopefully informative to anyone listening. So please stick around. This is CJSF 90.1 FM. I'm Garen Fitzgerald. You have been listening to my open mic / extratonal time slot. And we are now going to move into The Laws of Nature from Andrew Staniland. Have a good one. Thank you.
This is Bird Note. A typical house finch song has a raspy edge and tumbles forward in a jumbled series of notes. Especially during breeding season, the song has a sharp, buzzy note, like at the end of this one. In parts of the United States, house finches overlap with similar-looking purple finches. Their distinct songs help us sort them out. Compared with house finch songs, purple finch songs are faster and roll along smoothly as a brisk series of warbled phrases. And purple finches don't throw in that sharp, buzzy note that tags many house finch songs. Purple finches in the West sing a little differently from those in the East. But these variations are much more similar to each other than to house finch songs. Let's listen again. House finch, jumbled. Purple finch, smooth. But both are music to the ears. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein. This episode is brought to you by Wild Delight Bird Food, which aims to support wild bird populations with clean, nutritious ingredients in every blend. Available at Chewy.com.
This is Free Voices at CJSF 90.1 FM. Talking to you about
Eagle Nation Universal Production Society. We are 10 board of directors and we are rejoicing for world history. Our show is based on true stories, musical and storytelling and role playing, silent crimes broken, very interesting series of show.
And a lot of in-depth oral tradition. We play every Thursday from 3 to 4. Come and join us.
Thank you for listening to CJSF